From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 7th day of May 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. A bit later in the program, we'll hear from the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota and get an update from their regions and talk about how far along crop progress is across the United States as it relates to both corn and soybeans and what the condition of the wheat crop might look like. And we'll hear from Harry Cooney today, too. He's an agricultural energy specialist based in Bloomington at GrowMark. And Gary Schnitke will join us to talk about the decision that is yet to come, but things that producers might need to have in their back end of mind as they're wondering whether they should switch from corn acres to soybean acres, and even about Prevent Plant. And we'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon.
Looks like more of the action was actually not in Chicago, in New York, where things in the stock market aren't doing so well. What's happening there today?
Well, I think that it's the realization there's probably going to be some tariffs increased Friday morning, first thing Friday morning at 12:01. And I think that they're realizing that there's a lot of the economy that is dwelling on Chinese business, and what it's going to cost them for their inventory is going to go up quite a bit on that. So I think that and just the breakdown of world trade problems just doesn't look good for the economic community.
And what does that mean for farmers as you look forward into Friday's USDA reports and the day trade during Friday as well? Because these will come into effect Thursday evening into Friday morning.
Yeah, you know, if the tariffs are added, it's not positive. The grains, of course, we've been already shut out of their grain market with these, and then without a new agreement, this is just going to make it even more prohibitive and add a little fuel to the fire that Brazil can get more for their beans than we can and still sell them. You know, right now, Argentina is the cheapest corn and beans, followed by the U.S., and then Brazil, their basis is actually higher than ours to sell corn and beans right now, because they're looking at this and saying, hey, this gives us back our market, and we can actually charge more than the U.S. So not a positive thing. You know, as we look here in the corn inspections, we need to average 50.64 million bushels per week to meet the USDA's 2.3 billion bushel target as far as our exports go to, and we haven't been hanging with that. So even with our expected increase in corn shipments out in exports, this would sort of hurt that. We're also hoping that some agreement could have been come to this Friday or this week with things that would have helped our DDGs and ethanol sales to China also.
Well, the stock market clearly saying that's probably not going to be the case. However, we won't know until we know. Now, what's the trade thinking about ranges, if you have heard any, for the price of corn and soybeans, new crop in particular?
You know, that varies with or without the resolution with China quite a bit, I would say. But, I mean, basically, if we cannot get a trade done, it's going to drop the average price probably 50 cents in corn and 75 cents in beans. And, you know, it's just not a pretty picture for the farming industry.
What did you think of yesterday's USDA report, the crop progress or planting number?
You know, it was about what we were sort of looking for. I mean, basically, if you look at the average, we're half as far along with corn. Beans are behind, but it's not time for them to be making fast progress. You know, we saw the funds start to lighten up yesterday and today a little bit. That's why we saw some green numbers on the screen there, especially more so in the corn and the beans. And we're looking here that they're thinking that if the corn planting does go to Prevent Plant, does go to later, we might see a little more switching to beans and even a few more acres and raise the bean carryout even more. And that's not good.
Yeah, so there are a couple of things, and we'll talk about this with Gary Schnitke in just a bit, but I'm wondering about, is it possible that some of these will just look at the corn and do the Prevent Plant date for that and not bother with soybeans?
Oh, I would think that the Dakotas, different areas like that, that's a very advantageous thing to look at. I mean, you look at the money, it might pay your cash rent, maybe a little bit. And the thing about this year was the fall was late. We didn't get much fall fertilizer put on. We haven't got stuff sprayed. We don't have any expenses out there right now other than cash rent or taxes. So it's actually more advantageous this year than other years.
And the ratio, corn-soybean, probably will compel, I would think, those in the eastern Corn Belt to stick with corn as long as they possibly can.
Oh, yes. I mean, when you look at that, basically, we see it's more profitable to try to plant corn. And why would you want to put the crop that we've got the biggest carryout in the ground if you didn't have to? And also on the prevent plant, it's a lot more per acre for corn than it is for beans. But realize you can't take more acres of prevent plant in corn than the largest amount of acres of corn you planted in the last 5 years.
Any other things before I let you go for the afternoon?
That's about it today.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it a lot.
All righty. Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report, showing that as of Sunday, 23% of the corn crop around the nation had been planted. The normal five-year rolling average is 46%. 6% of the corn has emerged. 13% is the five-year average. 6% of the soybeans around the nation have been planted. 14% is the rolling five-year average. And 29% of the winter wheat crop has headed. 41% is the rolling five-year average, 52% of that crop in good condition, 12% in excellent, for a total of 64%. Last week it was 49 and 15, and last year those numbers were 27% good and 7% excellent. Now here are updates from the statisticians in Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, with the weekly Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report. Rain across the state delayed planting activities and held Iowa farmers to 2.8 days suitable for field work for the week ending May 5th, 2019. Below normal temperatures also slowed crop emergence. Topsoil moisture levels rated 0% very short, 2% short, 69% adequate, and 29% surplus. Statewide, just 15% of the corn crop was planted during the past week. Iowa growers have now planted 36% of the expected crop, one day behind last year and 5 days behind the five-year average. Northwest and northeast Iowa farmers have less than 20% of their corn planted. Just 1% of the crop has emerged, almost a week behind average. 8% of the expected soybean crop has been planted, 2 days behind last year and average. 87% of the expected oat crop has been planted, 6 days ahead of last year, but equal to average. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Wet weather continued across the state last week, and producers had to keep their machinery in the shed yet again. Flooding was reported along the Mississippi River as well as along smaller rivers and streams. Ponding in fields was common, and there was less than 1 day suitable for field work last week. Topsoil moisture was rated 26% adequate and 74% surplus. Temperatures varied widely across Illinois, with northern areas averaging nearly 5 degrees below normal and southern parts of the state nearly 4 degrees above normal. Overall, the state was 1.3 degrees below normal for the week. Rainfall totals were above normal around the state and range from more than 1.5 inches to more than 4 inches in the 7 days leading up to Sunday. On Sunday, May 5th, soil temperatures ranged from the lower 50s in northern areas to the upper 50s in southern parts of Illinois. Corn planting advanced by just 1 point and is now 10% finished. That compares to 68% 1 year ago and 66% for the five-year average. 2% of corn acres have emerged. Soybean planting remained stalled at 3% complete. That compares to 26% 1 year ago and 16% normally. 9% of wheat acres are now heading, compared to 13% 1 year ago and the 5-year average of 32%. The condition of the winter wheat crop declined and is now rated 20% very poor to poor, 42% fair, and 38% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office. Cool, damp weather limited the number of days suitable for field work to 2.1 days during the week ending May 5th, 2019. Field activities included hauling manure, spreading fertilizer, and planting. While planting progress was made for many crops, soybeans and sunflowers still have less than 1% of their expected acres planted. 6% of Minnesota's corn was planted, a day behind the previous year and 17 days behind the 5-year average. 7% of spring wheat has been planted, 4 days behind last year and 23 days behind the average. Oats were 21% planted, 18 days behind normal. Barley planted reached 5%, 4 days behind last year and 22 days behind normal. A few reports of dry edible beans going into the ground were received. Potatoes planted were 22% complete, 8 days behind the average. Sugar beets were 13% planted, 5 days behind last year, and 3 weeks behind normal. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brian Gallagher.
We're now joined by Harry Cooney. He's from GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural energies. Thanks, Harry, for being with us. You and I usually discuss some of the seasonalities of the energy markets. Has it been following the seasonals this year, and what does that mean?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Yeah, the seasonals in the energy complex would show a price rally from late last year, earlier this calendar year, up until about mid or late April. And really this year, the markets did just that. Maybe not exactly to that T, but the markets rallied up until about mid or late April. And so far now, we're in a little bit of a setback here now with the energy markets finding a little soft patch here in the early part of May. Some of this selling that we're seeing in here today is based off of the weakness in the equity markets, and of course that weakness started here yesterday, and so as long as that weakness continues in equities, we may see energies a little bit on the defensive here.
What do the seasonals look like for the summer time frame?
Well, it's interesting. As we get into the summer time period, a lot of times this setback that begins around the 1st of May, it'll set back some, but there's no sharp drop in energy. So even if the equities would decide to fall out of bed, let's say the Dow would drop a large amount, the energy markets tend to set back just a little bit here and then start to go into a sideways pattern into summer. And many years, gasoline prices have peaked for the summer season by the Memorial Day weekend. So even though you think that gas prices should just continue to go up and up and up right in through summer, a lot of times much of that move has already taken place from the first of the calendar year up until Memorial Day.
Have you considered the implications for farmers of a late harvest season?
Well, the late harvest season really, it just pushes back, or late planting season. The late planting season just pushes back a little bit of demand, but it really doesn't do much for overall demand. The demand will still be there. Now, we are starting to look at the potential for a little later harvest, and that could cause some grain drying demand in the fall. It's still pretty early to even think much about grain drying demand as a result of late plantings, but a year like this makes you start to think about it a little bit.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Now let's turn our attention to that late planting we've been talking about and what it really means as it relates to the decision to maybe switch to soybeans or to take Prevent Plant. Gary Schnitke looked at that in this week's posted at the Farm Doc Daily website Right Now article, and he's here to discuss it. Gary, what were you thinking?
Yeah, first and foremost, most of the time you're thinking about switching from corn to soybeans as we're getting later and later in the planting year. This year you might second guess that more than you usually would because of the weakness in soybean prices. Fall bids in central Illinois right now are roughly $3.60 for corn and $8 for soybeans. So we could be looking at sub 8 soybean prices for the coming year. And if you're looking at the economics of that, it's more difficult to make the switch from corn to soybeans. So sticking with corn a bit longer than perhaps usual is probably the first thing that you would be thinking about given the year that we're looking at.
Okay, and there are some dates that you need to reflect upon, and depending on where you are in the United States, they differ a little bit.
Yeah, so one of the other things that we would probably want to keep in mind at this point in time is our final planting date, which is for crop insurance, and after that date, you can take a preventive planting payment, and those dates will vary across the Midwest. For Illinois, most of the Illinois has a June 5th final planting date for corn, although our lower counties have a May 31st date. So after that date, we could begin to consider taking preventive planting payment. The dates for soybeans are June 20th for the lower two-thirds of the state and June 15th for the higher third. At this point in time, you can't think about, or we shouldn't be thinking about preventive planting. If we get a weather break here, planting will be advisable and is actually required by crop insurance. At this point, though, it would be good to get information about the number of acres eligible for preventive planting, and that's based on a four-year history from the insurance unit. Just knowing those acres, and there will be a eligible number of acres for corn and soybeans, will be useful information to have if we get to those preventive planting dates and still haven't planted.
How does that differ from the insured acres? I mean, why does it differ?
All right, so if you have a 100 acres unit, let's just take in 100 acres, and it stayed the same size for the past 4 years, the number of acres that could be declared preventive planting for corn would be the maximum numbers of acres planted in the last 4 years. And it would also be the same for soybeans, maximum number of acres. That usually gives some individuals some latitude in making their preventive planting decisions, and it is the rules that RMA have put in place for determining preventive planting acres.
Yeah, so I'm assuming places that are prone to be flooded here in Illinois, and then if you get out west, there are a whole lot more acres that they may not have gotten the full field or that full unit planted at some point over the last 4 years.
Yeah, and again, that the number of eligible acres is the number that have been planted. So if we've had some years in the past where we haven't had any acres planted, which is pretty unusual in Illinois, you have to have there is a planting requirement for being eligible for preventive planting acres.
What else did you take up in this? Anything?
One other thing is we're probably, given the late planting, looking at less than exceptional yield for 2019. You can't say that for certain yet, but the exceptional yields that we've been looking at for the past 4 or 5 years and here in Illinois likely won't happen in 2019. And that's going to put downward pressure on farm incomes. If we don't have an increase in price or another round of market facilitation program payments, we could be looking at some very low incomes in 2019.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can always find his latest pinnings on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm Todd Gleason. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're joined by Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to discuss the forecast for the Corn Belt. I think we'll stick probably with that, Don, today. Thanks so much for being with us, by the way.
Good to be here.
Well, let's start in the western Corn Belt, maybe in the northwest, along the Red River Valley, in the Dakotas, and then work your way through Minnesota and Iowa and to the east.
Okay, well, here in the short term, next 48 to 72 hours, it's going to be getting wet again. Looks like from the Dakota standpoint, it'll be eastern and southeastern South Dakota that sees the most rain out of the two Dakotas. North Dakota just on the edge of it, but southern Minnesota, all of Iowa, most of Wisconsin, eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas, northwest Missouri, looking at 1 to 2, up to as much as 3 inches of rain here over the next 72 hours. So it's going to be cool and wet. Further east into the Corn Belt, now rain amounts aren't going to be as heavy. While northwest Illinois will get into some of those 1 inch plus rains, you get into central eastern Illinois and Indiana, Ohio, amounts of rain more like a quarter to a half inch.
Okay, so that gives us the 48-hour outlook. How about further out once we get to the weekend and next week?
Well, there is going to be a period of time this weekend into early next week where it's going to dry out a little bit. We are going to start to see shower and thunderstorm activity returning towards the middle of next week. This will be probably from Tuesday into Wednesday and Thursday and Friday of next week. The middle to the end of next week, those same very areas I just mentioned, especially the central and northwest areas of the Corn Belt, probably looking at similar amounts of rain coming on in. And then as we get into that following weekend, into that following week after that, it looks wet again. So the driest period of weather is going to be this Mother's Day weekend into early next week. Otherwise, the beginning of the forecast period and the end of the forecast period is all looking wet.
So if we have periodic rains, as long as the amounts aren't horribly great, producers may be able to move, but it'll take a little heat and some wind. Are either of those going to be available over this three-week period?
Well, I think we're going to be able to see a little bit of heat. It does look like a southerly wind flow into those areas, which should keep temperatures from being too cool. The colder weather will be further out west. That being said, anytime you got a wet ground, that acts as a bit of a governor on temperature. And you got to evaporate a good amount of that soil moisture before you can really warm up too much. But it does look like temperatures on the whole over the next 15 days will be near to slightly above average, but probably not warm enough to dry things out too quickly. So we will err on the side of a cooler and wetter pattern, especially that wetter pattern, for those areas of the northwestern and western Corn Belt.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.